in, and who helped help the station stay afloat. And please keep in mind, and I'll just make one quick reference to this, whether you support the current boycott of the station or not, remember this, that the object of the exercise is to keep BAI alive and well, and to keep it able to provide to its original mission, supporting important broadcasting. And if we do not support the station, and if it does not make its even its reduced goal, then ask yourself with common sense, what could be the reaction? If, and I say, if this is the case, then I believe by boycotting and not supporting the station, and one of the guys I know, Steve Brown, comes up to me in the park and he says, Gary, I may come to your demonstration, but I'm definitely going to boycott the station. And I said, fine, that's your right. It doesn't affect how I would consider you a friend or not. I respect people's rights to their choices. I said, but Steve, if hypothetically, if the object of the national board's certain members was to take over the stations and to close them down or sell them off because they could be more profitable, then if you and others do not support the station so it does not make its revenue and it closes because we cannot pay our bills, then what is the probability that this station would, A, come back on the air with the same programming or previous programming, so old people be hired or new people rehired, versus selling it off? And explain to me your logic that would be otherwise. How do you benefit a station by bringing it down and closing it? What happens to a closed station? We already have the infinitesimal small listenership. No advertising, no publicity, no promotion. The only thing anyone ever hears about this station is negative hand-to-hand mortal combat by people who have developed camps. Why can't we work to save this station and through the court system, which is currently going on, and through the support of those who wish to see these issues resolved? But this is the Janet Reno, let's kill the children to save them. I will not tolerate that. I will support the station. I don't take sides. And only by supporting the station can we eventually have a station that honors its mandate. And I see a lot of people at this station working very hard who may have different views than what people on the national board may have, may not agree with everything that's been done, but realize that those are individual issues that can be addressed and will be addressed and are being addressed in the appropriate forums. But until those forums have resolved these issues and some form of healing has occurred, if you're trying to stop the bleeding so you can create the healing, you don't offer by cutting off the arm. It's just such, and he's a liberal. Jesus. Well, hey, I've got friends who are fried. I've got friends who are on both sides of this issue, and I stay right with the station. I'm here to support the station. No section, no group, no clique, no politic. I'm here to support the voices that can come. And if it's not my voices, I'm here to support other voices that can come out to this audience. If we find glee and joy in jamming the lines which they brag about doing so you can't call in and make your contribution or other techniques, then you mark my words, if this station does go off the air, you will never hear another voice you've ever heard in the past when it opens back up again. I don't want to see that happen, because then what everyone fears, what everyone doesn't want, will happen. Thank you, Steve, and the other people, for contributing to what you ultimately say you don't want. But then I've seen anarchists who will burn up whatever they're in protest of, even though it was something that they should have been supporting. It's not the first time I've seen this kind of lack of reasonableness. But then again, when you got arrogance and ego and defiance, reason goes out the window. And people, I don't care what my ultimate report shows, I can assure you that those people who want to believe in one side will continue to believe in it. If you care about the station, then support it. And you shouldn't have to be motivated or cajoled by a premium to do it. We're offering a premium simply because it's premium to me as something I've spent my life working on. And it's only at this time that the baby boomers are finally at these critical junctions in their life where they must wake up. They must wake up. They must wake up and ask themselves, do they want more of the same to change a life that has an emptiness and a loneliness at its core? If you're really good, you can disguise it. You can disguise it by keeping so busy and so overly responsible and so distracted that neither you nor anyone else knows how empty that core is. If you want a life that is filled with real meaning and purpose, then you're alone going to be the architect of that. Not me or anyone else. All that I can do, if you allow, is I can give you some tools that can help you get to a point where you can make really objective, informed, reasonable choices for yourself and how you want to live your life and your health and everything else. I can write a book on the joy of juicing, but if you're not happy with who you are, how much likelihood is it you're going to juice anything? You're not. You're going to take your coffee, and you're going to eat your crap, and you'll rationalize it like you do everything else, and you'll justify it, and you'll rationalize everything you do. And only where you absolutely are forced to change because of some crisis, medical crisis, personal life crisis, then and only then will you finally say, I'm sorry I did this, and turn around and maybe do something else. But it doesn't mean that you'll connect with everything you should do. I've seen some of the most emotionally sick people in my life in a health food store. I owned a health food store. I own one of the most successful health food stores in America, a little tiny one, 400 square feet, one employee, me. I worked at 4 o'clock in the morning packing little bags of sunflower seeds when I first came to New York City downstairs, and I built it up after 18 years. And you know, one day I walked away from it, walked away, did not take a penny because I could not stand the customers. I'd never met so many just angry, bitter, vile human beings that shopped in a health food store. And I said, I want nothing to do with the health movement. I didn't want anything to do with the spiritual movement. I found no one spiritual in the spiritual movement. I found no one healthy in the health movement. I got as far away from every movement as you could get, because movements that should have represented a higher ideal reveled in this blame and sarcasm and elitism and self-righteousness and pontificating. I wanted nothing to do with that. I just walked away from it and didn't go back. I haven't been back. Because I saw, and I still see today, so many people claiming they want something and are not willing to surrender the negative to get the positive. Not willing to surrender the destructive to get the constructive. Not willing to surrender the bad habits to get the good habits. So what's the good of having a radio station that broadcasts information you're not going to likely get anywhere else if you don't support it? 92% of the people don't even support what they hear. Yet they'll protest. Well, I got an idea about people who are willing to protest what they're not supporting. That's called hypocrisy. And that's just an extension of everything else in a person's life. I'm concerned about people who support their own change. Now, if you don't want to live a longer life or a healthier life or a happier life, you have that right. And what you don't want, you won't get. And if you don't want to be around people who are positive and constructive and not whining and moaning and blaming and complaining, playing games, then you've got to make some changes. But if you want a higher ideal and you don't surrender the lower, you stay at the lower. You are not what you think. You are what you do. And we have to ask ourselves, what is it we do? And then we start seeing our insecurity and fear just dominate what we do. Well, between the Baby Boomer's Guide, it'll help you overcome the fear. It'll take away that straitjacket of conformity to social ideas and let you be who you were meant to be and honor that. The Joy of Juicing then liberates the body to heal, because every recipe in the Joy of Juicing has healing ingredients, and it makes it fun. And when was the last time you went into the kitchen and just started experimenting from scratch? Some of you because you are creative and you're not afraid to do that. Some of you because you're willing to honor your body and you're not afraid to take the time and energy to do it. Some of you because you've had to do it because you're sick and it's the only way you can overcome illness. Some of you because you've improved your health by recipes you have been given, and now you want to see if you can't go on and expand beyond that. It's like the old notion, I can show you, I can fish for you, or I can show you how to fish. This is giving you the tools you can do it on your own. Two tools, the Joy of Juicing, get healthy. Get yourself healthy, detox, cleanse, rejuvenated, rebalance, and do it in a way where the recipes can really sparkle. And the Baby Boomer's Guide is the more serious approach. But by the way, even in the style, there's lots of levity and humor. I don't make it a hard trip. I make it an easy journey. And it's a journey many of you at this point in your life should start to take. You've taken other journeys, and very successfully in many cases, and you've worked hard. It's not about anyone being lazy. I don't know any lazy people. I know a lot of people who simply put efforts where there's very little reward in relationship to the enormous effort. I want you to have less effort and greater rewards. Is that so much? I should want more from you than what you want from you. That shouldn't be. You should want more from you than what I want for you. The Baby Boomer's Guide gives you the tools to change everything that doesn't work in your life. Last night, I think it was around midnight, there was nothing open, so I walked down to a market, and they had some organic fruits in there, and I went in, I got some fruits, and as I'm walking out, there's a guy named Moshe, and he's a gentleman who I've seen in our health support groups, a very nice man, he's very conscientious, very thoughtful, very kind. He's a Orthodox Jewish background. And he came over and he made a very nice statement. I thought about it the rest of the evening when I was working. How many nice, wonderful people there are in this world who are willing to share a positive energy with nothing in return, unconditional. And even when we ask or even when we say something, do we put a positive energy behind it? Or is it selfish or negative or hostile? And you got to stop and think how many times a day you think a negative thought versus a positive thought. Because that negative thought's not going to get you anywhere. A positive thought, even with negative circumstances, can. The Baby Boomer's Guide helps you have more positive thoughts and positive actions. The Baby Boomer's Guide can get you away from all these negative thoughts, self-doubt, lack of self-worth, a sense of helplessness, you're too old to change, I have a whole chapter on I don't have. What don't you have? Well, I don't have the energy, or I don't have the money, or I don't have the knowledge, or I don't have the connections, or I don't have any friends, or I don't... Okay. And I go through each and every one of those things and show you what you do have that you didn't realize you had and what you can do about it. So it's just time in our life that at 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, that we begin to change. If we don't, things will never change better for us. They won't ever get better. They'll only get worse. We don't want that. I don't want that for you. That's why I wrote The Baby Boomer's Guide. Without question, my most important book to date. The Joy of Juicing, a phenomenal companion. So, fellas, that's it from my end. Let's see if we can't light the board up once or twice maybe, and then I want to get back to my program, continue on with what I started.
Okay, well, we're going to light this board up, I think, three times before we get back to part two of Natural Living. Again, going back to that idea of electroconvulsive, is it therapy? We'll be getting to that very, very soon. But you've heard Gary's arguments. You've heard him talk about the various books, the two books that he's offering, but especially the argument for supporting the radio station and holding on to the radio station, because once it's gone, you know it's gone. And it's especially important for this audience to remain intact and remain with the program and with the air, because this, you know, situation may not be easy, but it cannot go on forever. There will come a time when we need to do some real rebuilding and all of that, and the deeper into the pit we go, the harder the climb out will be. So that is personally where I stand on this. And we think there are enough of you in this audience out there who feel the same way, who want to see this radio station sustain itself through a tribulation time and come out of it, get out of it, offer it a future. 24 years Natural Living has been on the air. Mr. Null has seen it all, and he knows that one can survive it all and one can put it back together. That goes for a radio station, but that can also go for your own life, which is why the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right has, as Gary said, it's a special tool.
And getting it right the second time around.
The second time around.
So give us a call right now at 212-209-2950. You can use Visa, the plastic, MasterCard, or American Express. But do call us with your contributions, with your subscriptions. If $50 is what you think that the station should have right at this point, please do that. If you would like to get the Gary Knoll's new book, along with Shelley Knoll, that is The Joy of Juicing, that's for a pledge of $75. Please do that by calling us. We have several people in
town. Four people on the line,
and
right
they're
now
waiting to take your calls right now at 212-209-2950. This is how
five
it is done.
On the line. This is how it is done.
The repeating the number over
repeating
and over
the number
again,
over and over.
So
again,
that one person, one of you, two of you, three of seven of you will make that
you
call to this radio station.
212-209-2950
is the number to call. We
and
have
thank
about
you for those 10 calls coming
10
in.
10 calls coming in right now. Thank you very, very much. For a pledge of $150, you will get The Joy of Juicing plus The Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right the Second Time Around. Thank you very, very much for coming
this
through
is
this
to see
particular audience
this is
at this time. Thank
see
you so much.
If no one is picking up your line immediately, we ask you to be patient.
We
don't
do
hang up. Folks will get to you. Folks will take your information. You can use your credit card. Again, as Gary said, you know, the premiums are premiums to him. It's important work that he has done, and it's an act of faith and generosity that he allows us to offer them to you for that special price. But the station is a $50 commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can make that commitment, we will certainly welcome it at this hour. 212-209-2950.
He spoke about informed choice and access to information, and that is ultimately what the radio station is about, has been about, and will continue to be about, the access to information. And we're asking you to pledge your support at whatever level you can afford to keep this station on the air. 212-209-2950. Pledge to the station, take out a membership, get a gift subscription for someone who is out of the area. We broadcast to four states, parts of Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, out on the island. 212-209-2950. We'd like to hear from you. If no one, as Matthew said, if no one is picking you up immediately, please stay with it. Please stay with us until we get to that call. There are, you know, not an overwhelming number of individuals in the place, in the tally room right now, so give us a minute and we'll get to
that's
you. 212-209-2950.
Right. I do hear a rather pretty melody. Ya-da-da.
Yeah. Yes.
Ya-da-da. Little close encounters happening over there in the tally room. Folks, you will be picked up. You will be gotten to. You will be saved. 212-209-2950. And remember, we will be at this until 3 o'clock or thereabouts when Talkback resumes its daily slot starting at 3. You can make your pledge while we go back to the basic programming, to the next produced segment of Natural Living. And we intend to do that very, very soon right now. So as that program is going, if no one has picked you up, you can just take a breather and call right back. Make your pledge again. Joy of Juicing, $75. The Baby Boomer's Guide to Life, that tool, that for $100, the two together for $150. And there you are. There you are set. And good information in The Joy of Juicing. You know, the biggest headache with a juicer is not can I get the stuff to put into it or what can I
not
do
at
with
all.
It, but do I have to clean it each time?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Those I know people who cook for a living. You have to do that with a knife. You have to clean your knife and sharpen it each time you use it. You have to clean the cutting board practically every time you lay something down on it, especially those of you who cook meat. You've got to keep that thing clean and sterile at all times. So this is just a natural extension of how one should be in the kitchen. So it's actually not that great a chore if you buy the right machine. There's information in here about how to choose one and the magnificent things you can do with the juicer and with the blender in some cases, and how it can benefit your health, your well-being, and let's say it plain, your creative life, your home life, you know what I'm saying. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Visa, MasterCard, American Express are available to you if you want to make that pledge. for whatever amount, whether it's the 50 or the two books together for 150 or the various permutations in between. You can make that pledge. Make that call. Sustain this radio station. Give it up for the work that Gary has done for this air and for other radio stations for 24 years. Now remember, this is someone who knows the commercial world very, very well, broadcasts in the commercial world, deals with the commercial mindset on a regular basis, and yet continues to sustain his commitment to non-commercial media. That's important.
And the other thing is that he is not, as he said earlier, he is not just supporting natural living. He is supporting the other voices that are heard over these airwaves as well. And that's so very, very important because it is all a collective here at WBAI. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Make your calls now. Make your pledges of support to this station, to this frequency, to this network, so we can continue the work here.
I think WBAI. That's a bingo. Look at that. Yep. Look at that. Well, thank
all
you,
right,
folks.
So
these calls are coming in nice and strong. Normally at this time, you would hear Armand DeMille and the Positive Mind. And I believe Armand will be back tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
starting up at 1 o'clock. So this is really, Gary will be doing an abbreviated show, or actually a normal length show tomorrow. So this is really our time to bring it in. Very, very large for natural living, and so far you folks are coming through brilliantly, and it's great to see. Great to see you coming through. I know it's raining outside, and I know it's a little glum outside, but you know, clouds part. You got to have some rain in your life to appreciate the sunshine.
And, you know, you don't have to pledge to get any of the premium that we're offering. Also, by the way, you can get the WBAI T-shirt, coffee mug, or baseball cap if you'd like to do that. But what we're offering during Natural Living is the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right the second time around for a pledge of $100. The Joy of Juicing by Gary Noll and Shelley Noll for a pledge of $150, you'll get The Joy of Juicing and The Baby Boomer's Guide. Just say Baby Boomer's Guide, and the people in Tally will know just what you mean.
How many people are calling in?
Well, we have a full board.
A full board.
14, 15 people calling in right now.
We've had about 10 minutes of a full board going through there, and we hope those folks who aren't picked up yet will just be patient. Call back when we get into the show proper. We'll be at this for another hour and change before talkback, and we really want to see some numbers up there as we complete our first week of the fundraising extravaganza.
The Joy of Juicing for $75 at 212-209-2950. Join us now. Please be patient. As we said, we'll get to you. The folks in Tally will get through to your call at 212-209-2950.
Give you an idea how much information is in the Baby Boomer's Guide. Lesson 3, which is the three of the lessons, starts on page 294. So just the first two lessons took almost 300 pages. This is really comprehensive. And lesson 3 is honoring your life. And does fear motivate your decisions? And it talks about all the things we do in life that does not honor who we are, and why we continue to allow things that do not honor us to impact upon us. I had an experience once where I was asked to write a book for a publisher, and I thought about the book. I thought it was a worthwhile book that needed to be done, and then I met my editor, and my editor was this very angry person. She weighed about 400 pounds, and she smoked, chain smoked, and drank coffee. And the very first meeting we had, I'll never forget this. I walked in, I said hi, and she was on the telephone, and I was standing there. She didn't motion for me to sit or anything. I was just standing there, and she went on and on and on for about 20 minutes. And then she hung up the phone and just pointed, like, you know, sit here. And she holds up the manuscript, and she says, "You don't really believe this crap, do you?" And I thought for a moment. I didn't say anything. And she kind of throws it my direction. And I thought, okay, this is a person I'm going to have an ongoing relationship with. Without this editor, this book will not have any success. I've been there and done that. I've had some of my best work, work that I spent years out of my life writing, end up in oblivion because people who were part of the support team didn't support it, didn't believe in it. And do I want to go there now? So I picked up the manuscript. I said, I'm sorry you don't have confidence in this, and I'll take it elsewhere. And with that, I turned around and walked out, walked over to the publisher's office and told him that I wouldn't be doing the book for them. And went away. It was a big advance. I was hard-pressed financially. I worked very hard, did a whole series of lectures about almost every day, which helped people, but it burned me out. I got the money, gave it back, and then I gave the book to a publisher. I got zero advance. That book went on to be one of my biggest bestsellers and caused many other books from published from authors who would not have been published to be published. That book was The Egg Project. It's kind of interesting what happens in life where you decide that you will not connect with that which does not honor you. And how many times in life have we accepted abuses because we felt we had to, because it was someone at work or someone in our family? And I was counseling someone yesterday and I said this. This person is going through right now a real rough time with a teenage daughter who's 18 and very abusive. And I said, would you accept from a stranger what you tolerate from your daughter? She said, no, I would not. No. I said, have you asked your daughter what she gains from being smart-alecky and sassy and just mean to you? Ask her what she gains, because people don't say something unless they feel they gain something from it, including a psychological advantage, including the gain of punishing someone. What have you done to your daughter that's made her feel this way towards you? And it's not what she had done to the daughter. She's been a very giving person. But what happened was that, there was a divorce. The daughter took the father's side and blamed the mother. And this father is a very unique person, because he really manipulated and used his ex-wife in many ways, including in business. But one of the things this woman did not give her daughter was unconditional time. Gave her everything she could financially and care when she could. But she was trying to maintain a business. And it was very hard. Never abusive. Never any emotional or corporal punishment. Bending over backwards. Well, if you think you can raise a child just by giving him things, think again. And this woman is 45 years of age, and she's now realizing that at this point in her life that you can't do these things over. And I said you can't go back and make up for what you've done or not done that has caused the reaction. I said, just look at it this way. Whatever you have given your daughter, the best you've given your daughter, will be a tool that she can use if she decides to use it. You've given her a lot of gifts. You've given her your unconditional love. You've given her the insights that you have benefited from. But you've also given her your insecurity. You've given her your fear. You've given her a lot of things that were also your limitations. That's what we forget. We'll remember the good things we give people. We don't always want to remember the things that were deficiencies in ourselves that came with the good things. So you should make an inventory of the things that you've given your daughter that may be causing some of these reactions. May and may not be legitimate to her reactions, but think about it. And ask yourself, are you willing to let this part of your life go? Everything in life is a passage, series of passages, and there comes a time when we have to realize we have completed this passage. Bring it to closure. Learn. Be introspective. Give ourselves time to reflect upon. This was a very important passage in life. When a child is going off to school or leaving home, we want to make sure that the best that we can offer is given. What is it that we have given? And now look at it. and try to stay as emotionally neutral as possible. Well, I got this call this morning about 9 o'clock from this person, said, I gave it a lot of thought to this, and I got a lot more thought to do, but I understand that there were times in my life when I was raising my children that I was insecure. I was in a very insecure place in my relationship, and I did not have a husband that supported or loved me and said, who used me? And the children were, as you called it, friendly fire. And all children who are in homes that are going through crisis will feel it. There's only so much hiding you can do. They're there. The energy is there. And it will affect them because they're helpless to make adults grow up. They're trying to grow up. And adults who have pitted themselves one against the other, even if it's not a physical confrontation, there's a lot of psychological drama that goes on in inter-family conflicts. And you get the emotional friendly fire. You get the people who are affected by it. And not everyone will outwardly talk about it. But you'll see them doing a lot of things that are just defiant, where there is nothing constructive that will come from the defiance, because it's the defiance that is frequently using drugs or alcohol or something they know that the parent would be hurt by. And when someone does something to hurt you, there's a reason for it. What you have to do is try to find the reason so you can understand it and try to change that course of action, because once they leave, they're going to continue it. They're not going to suddenly say, okay, I'm out of my home. I feel all better about myself. There's no reason I should continue with any unhealthy habits or behavior. I'm just going to become a very healthy, you know, focused person. It doesn't work that way. The very qualities that they, both negative and positive, they have developed living with the person, they will use with everyone else they live with. So you got to do what you can and make that a priority. But you see, the business was always a priority. Providing for the horse lessons and the cooking classes and the, you know, the out back west experiences and all these other things that kids are taken to, those became the focus. Those were the priorities, instead of just sitting down and figuring out what it was that the child needed, you needed, and everyone needed to honor a healthy, growing, spiritual, wonderful relationship. And now it's at this late stage. So at least now, until this is resolved in some way, till closure can be brought to this, trying to figure out what it is that What all went into this soup that made it a sweet and sour soup? What went into it? Because if we don't understand the negative side of ourselves and we are in denial and we only focus on the positive side, then we'll never change. If we don't change, then it may not be our children who are grown and gone who will be adversely affected, but you can bet the same qualities that we negative qualities that we gave to our children, we're going to give to our friends or in our relationships. I once had some, so hopefully this person will use this and grow. At least she understands she's at the end of something. And you have to have closure in life. If you don't have closure, you have no future. Everything is just a continuation of the past. With regret and remorse and anger and bitterness and projecting, that's non-constructive. You've got to one day wake up and say, okay, I didn't do this in the ideal way. There's a lot of flaws in it, but at least I'm going to learn from what happened. And then I told her, after she understood the limitations of what she shared and the negatives that she shared with her daughter, sit with her daughter and write her daughter also a letter in explaining this and ask for forgiveness. And you know, sometimes when people ask us for forgiveness who have in some way adversely affected us, if we are of a mind to, we can understand and we can offer and let that energy go and disconnect from any anger and pain. It doesn't mean we want more of it, but at least we're not going to hold on to it. And we're a nation that hangs on to our pain. So I have a whole section in the Baby Boomer's Guide to letting go of pain, letting go of anger, understanding how to look at what has happened and change how we understand it so we're honest about it. being dishonest about what we do and our motives for doing it will frequently prevent us from ever learning any lesson from it. We bound our ego to being right and not, you know, and always defending ourselves and never admitting our own weaknesses or our limitations. Hey, I want to tell you something. I've never been in a relationship in my life that ended because the person was too loving, too kind, too wonderful. No, you don't end a relationship because it's too many good things. You end it when it is so terrible, so intolerable, so unbearable that you can't even make excuses for yourself anymore for tolerating that kind of abuse. And you finally say goodbye. That's it. And then the person says, but didn't we share this? Yeah, we did. But we also shared this. Jekyll and Hyde, which one am I getting today? Well, how many times in life have you accepted the negative along with the positive because you were felt obliged to do so? Mm. And you don't have to do that. I suggest this, and you'll read this in the Baby Boomer's Guide. You are too precious to accept abuse from anybody. Do not let anyone who's familiar with you say things to you or do things to you that do not honor you. And that's the way it should be. And we have to get to where we no longer allow ourselves to say, well, okay, I got A, but, you know, I got overlooked B. I got C, I got overlooked D. No, stop overlooking all these inconsistencies and contradictions within a person's nature. No, if someone doesn't want to treat you the way that you want to be treated, then find someone who will or stay alone. Better to be alone than to be abused. And that's all in the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right the Second Time Around. Okay. Call the station, get it, and we're going back to the show.
All right, we're going to get right back into the programming, the second produced portion of Natural Living. Again, looking at the electroconvulsive quote-unquote therapy from a scientific point of view. We have two callers on the line. We had a wonderful flurry about 15 minutes ago. We'd love to see these calls come in and continue to come in for the Baby Boomer's Guide, for the radio station in general, the $50 membership, Baby Boomer's Guide, $100 pledge, or the Joy of Juicing for $75, or both of them for a pledge of $150. Our phone line is 2, thank you for that second call, 212, the area code 2092950. Some people have problems with saying O instead of zero. I've heard of that. But we use a 212-209-2950.
Thank you for that call. Thank you for
zero.
That call.
And you can continue to call in as we get back into the program. Again, Gary will be here until past for almost another hour. So we have a lot of work to do.
About 40 minutes.
Okay. Gary, those calls are lining up right now. So as soon as you give us the go-ahead, I guess, Michael, we can...
Okay, what's that number one more time slowly?
212, area code 212-209-2950.
And there you go, and here they come. We've got six people on the line. Again, we can take 12 of you if the calls get heavy.
As soon as we hit 12, we're going back.
Okay, if the calls get heavy and no one is picking you up, be patient. They will get you, they will pick you up, and they will take your pledge of whatever amount you want to put in. Again, you can give these premiums as gifts. Give your pledge to the radio station and have them send the book or books to parties elsewhere in the country to give them some of
all
these
right,
tools.
9, 10, 11, 12 calls are coming
there
in right now.
There's
Thank
12.
You very, very
Thank
much
you
for
very
those
much.
Calls. As we go
calls
back to programming,
up.
The produced portion of Natural Living with Gary Null, please continue to call. Please continue to call that number and take out a subscription. Take out a subscription. Take out a couple of subscriptions.
Take
those
out.
Of you yeah. who are at work or who are at school, you can do that as well. 212-209-2950.
And if you're a couple, I suggest that when you get the book, and you're going to get it as quickly as the station can process it, please sit and read a chapter together. This book is not meant to be read from cover to cover all at once. It's meant to be read section by section, and then you respond to it. You think on it. There's too many deep things in this just to go right through it. You can't do a quick read on this. It really will be a read that it'll probably take you at least a month to read the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right Second Time Around, because it provokes so many thoughts. It's all about healthy self-actualization. So read it together. Read it with someone who you care about it. Read it with your kids. Have your kids read one section, and then get them to respond what they think, and listen to what they're saying. Whether you agree or disagree, let them have their opinion. Honor that. So call right now and get the Baby Boomer's Guide. Certainly my most important work, one that I know will help people change the problems in their lives to solutions. And I think a lot of people are looking for something like this. They're looking for positive solutions. This will do it. I also want to thank all the members of our Natural Living Running Walking Club who volunteered to help Stella Cashman, who did an outstanding job at coordinating this new Metropolitan Athletic Congress Championship 20K race, a long race in the park on Sunday. We had, count them, 11 members of the Natural Living Running Walking Club who won in their various age groups. And the women's team, the women's master team, three women, won against all other women's teams. The Natural Living was the first masters women team across the line. And one of those women, it was the first race, and five of the people won. It was their first ever race in their life. So this is just the beginning of the season and a long race, and they're going to all training for the marathon. So congratulations. It was a really great thing to see all these people out there. I won the gold in the third guy overall in the whole race. But I'm starting to train harder now, and as time gets available, I'll look into somewhere in June to go for a big record. So I'm trying to get as many of these people to live up to what's in them. And you know what's exciting? When you see a guy who's never won anything in his life, never finished anything in his life, loses 112 pounds, overcomes 9 diseases, does this race, and wins a bronze medal. And he was right beside me. And when they read off his name, because you don't know until the end who placed him what, and my goodness, he just had the biggest smile in his life, and he went over and he got this award. He came over to me and said, "Gary, I've never won anything." I said, "Well, you see, you were a champion. Your whole life, you were a champion waiting to be acknowledged. Now today you got that acknowledgement." And so all of us have something in us that we can show that we gives us joy, because he did this for the joy of doing it. You think he's ever going to gain that 100 pounds back? No way. You think he's going to allow himself to get sick again? No way. You think he's going to continue to keep focused upon what's important in his life that gives him joy? You bet. And so I want to see everyone do something that they feel very good about, that's their passion and joy. They're not doing it for the money. They're not doing it for the fame. They're doing it because it really gives them the reward of living. And the Baby Boomer's Guide can help you in that journey.
Okay, and you can make that pledge right now. And as we go back to the program, that number again, 212-209-2950. A good squad of folks in the tally room. They will take your information. If you have plastic and want to do it on MasterCard, Visa, or American Express, you can do that. It's always good if you're going to pledge that way to have the card with you when you pick up the phone.
Sure indeed.
Rather than making the poor folks in tally wait for you to locate it. And Gary, we're ready to go right back into the
program. How many people are on the phones now?
We've got about 11 people calling in right now and warming up those lines. And folks, you can continue to call in even as we go back to the producer.
And you save money by getting the two books together, by the way.
Exactly.
Of course you get the Joy Juicing, and everyone's going to love the Joy Juicing. Everyone's going to love that book. And the Baby Boomer's Guide, get them together. It's a tax-deductible donation. And look, we're all going to spend more than $150 this year on taxes. And why not be able to write it off? So now you can, because it's given a donation to the station. So we're ready to go.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, Gary. We'll be going back to programming. You're tuned to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, listener-sponsored commercial-free community radio. And we thank you so very, very much for your calls of support, for pledging to this radio station, particularly at this time. The Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right the Second Time Around. Thank you for that call, for a pledge of $100. The two books, Joy of Juicing and or the Baby Boomer's Guide, for a pledge of $150. Call us now at 212-209-2950 as we go back to programming. Stay tuned. Coming up after Natural Living will be Talk Back with Hugh Hamilton, so please stay tuned.
Welcome back, everyone. Let us continue in our exploration of what is important in understanding electroconvulsive therapy, the other side of the story. Let me share with you now peer-reviewed articles that show that it does not prevent suicide, because that's one of the primary reasons people are told to take it. So, a study conducted in 1976 found no difference in suicide rates among 519 patients receiving shock therapy, antidepressant medication, or neither shock therapy nor antidepressant medication. And that's according to the Archives of General Psychiatry, Volume 33. Year 2000, a study compared 89 people with severe depression who committed suicide to a group of 89 similar severely depressed people who did not commit suicide. The study found no suicide preventive effect for shock therapy. Rather, the study revealed that patients who did not receive electroconvulsive therapy were far more likely not to commit suicide. Those who received shock therapy were far more likely to commit suicide. So therefore, electroconvulsive therapy actually increased the likelihood of suicide. And that was the Journal of Electroconvulsive Therapy, Volume 16. Little, if any, evidence supports a long-term positive effect of electroconvulsive therapy on suicide rates, especially if diagnostically heterogeneous groups are considered. And that's according to the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, Volume 60. Quote, patients who committed suicide were more apt to have received electroconvulsive therapy than those who died from other causes. The difference was not significant. A control group of living patients matched for age, sex, and diagnosis had very similar exposures to electroconvulsive therapy, which further indicates that electroconvulsive therapy does not influence long-term survival. These findings, combined with a close examination of the literature, do not support the commonly held belief that electroconvulsive therapy exerts long-range protective effects against suicide. And that's from the journal on convulsive therapy, article, Does Electroconvulsive Therapy Prevent Suicide, by Dr. Victor Milstein, Dr. Joyce Small, and Dr. Ivor Small, and Dr. Grace Green. A study of 1,076 individuals with major affective disorder found that death rate does not differ between patients having a lifetime history of electroconvulsive therapy and patients never having it. Motive therapy received in the hospital has, quote, minimal influence on subsequent death, according to, including suicide. And again, that's in the Annals of Clinical Psychiatry. And that was an article, Does Treatment Influence Death in Depressives? By Drs. Black, Winokur, and Mohandas, and Wilson, and Nasserell. Now, another article in the Journal of Risk and Safety Medicine, Volume 11, entitled Electric Shock, Scientific, Ethical, and Political Issues, quote, there is little or no scientific literature to suggest that electroconvulsive therapy ameliorates suicide, whereas a significant body of literature confirms that it does not. As they attempt to recover from electroconvulsive therapy, patients frequently find that their prior emotional problems have now been complicated by electroconvulsive therapy-induced brain damage and dysfunction that will not go away. If their doctors tell them that electroconvulsive therapy never causes any permanent difficulties, they become further confused and isolated, creating conditions of suicide. So there are several, but not all, the studies showing that it does not prevent suicide, actually increases it. Now, time and again, we have this note that psychiatrists who are not scientific and have not proven their legitimacy will state that it is necessary. In point of fact, no electroconvulsive therapy from my research has ever been proved necessary. None. Not a single treatment, period. Let me recite some of the literature. From Advances in Therapeutics, Volume 16, article by Dr. Youssef, an article entitled Time to Abandon Electroconvulsive Treatment as a Treatment in Modern Psychiatry. Electroconvulsive therapy emerged with no scientific evidence, and the absence of other suitable therapy for psychiatric illness was decisive in its adoption as a treatment. Electroconvulsive therapy is an unscientific treatment and a symbol of authority of the old psychiatry. Electroconvulsive therapy is not necessary as a treatment modality in the modern practice of psychiatry. And this comes from the Journal of Risk and Safety in Medicine. Electroconvulsive treatment is increasingly used in North America, and there are attempts to promote its further use worldwide. However, most controlled studies of efficacy in depression indicate that the treatment is no better than placebo, with no positive effects on the rates of suicide. Let's talk about relapse now. Let's say you get it, and now you're in a state of euphoria. And a small percentage of people will go into a state of euphoria. Let me explain how that could be. You could be in a car accident. You could have your arm mashed, your ribs broken, your lung punctured, come out in shock, and be laughing. Now, if you were unfortunate enough to have a psychiatrist at the scene, they'd come over, smile, give you a bill and say, your crash helped your progress. Go home and enjoy it. Fortunately, there's no psychiatrist at your accident, because when that same trauma, massive, massive brain cell destruction occurs, and you have no conscious of what has happened, you will go into a temporary, small percentage of people, about 12% of people, will go into a temporary state of euphoria. They then say that the euphoria is a sign of overcoming your depression. What they don't tell you is, you don't know your name, you don't know where you're at, you don't know why you're there, you don't know what you've done, you don't know if you've done something wrong or not wrong, you don't remember anything, and that wears off, and that euphoria doesn't last, and then you're back to where you were. That's the basis of psychiatry saying that it works. Of course, it doesn't. Now, in relapsing, reverting back, in a double-blind study of four different electroconvulsive therapy modalities with depressed patients, 26 out of 90 patients failed to respond to therapy at all. 41 of the 70 who did respond, which is 59%, relapsed. And, quote, there was no difference between the treated groups, unquote. And that's according to even the proponent, Sackman, in the New England Journal of Medicine, volume 328, page 839. A study of two different types of shock therapy conducted at the New York State Psychiatric Institute, New York, 53% of 80 patients, depressed patients, studied relapse within 2 months of treatment. Now, whether all the rest relapsed or not, we don't know because they didn't do a follow-up. That was published in the Archives of General Psychiatry in May of 2000, volume 57. A more recent study by the same group shows that without active treatment, virtually every single one of the people who received electroconvulsive therapy relapsed within 6 months. The authors are among the leading advocates of electroconvulsive therapy. Kind of interesting, their own studies. In the March 14, 2001, Journal of the American Medical Association, page 1299, shows that there was all this relapse. And yet these very same people are the major proponents. Talk about hypocrisy. Now let's look at complications to the heart. 28% of a group of 42 patients undergoing electroconvulsive therapy suffered cardiovascular problems, including ischemic or arrhythmic complications following treatment. 70% of the patients who had a history, physical or EKG evidence of cardiac disease, developed cardiac complications. That was according to the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry. Quote, ECT, which is electroconvulsive therapy, induced seizures, cause a rapid rise in blood pressure. At the same time, the brain experiences a significant reduction in blood flow, unquote. And that's according to convulsive therapy. Quote, a Mayo Clinic study of 34 elderly patients receiving shock found an 18% incidence of serious heart arrhythmias during treatment, forehead ventricular tachycardia requiring IV lidocaine. Two had tachycardia requiring IV beta blockers. And that's according to the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. Quote, after his eighth ECT, a 57-year-old man died of heart rupture, unquote. And that was in the Therapeutic Anesthesia, volume 52. Quote, physicians from Tulane University Medical School reported on a 69-year-old woman who developed brain hemorrhage during electrical pulse therapy. She was also left with epilepsy afterwards. This was, as expected, associated with further deterioration in her mental status as her baseline depression. They concluded that the fragile vessels of the elderly may make some patients a particularly high risk for electroconvulsive therapy. This, according to the Perry Journal Neurology, November 1991. Interesting enough, women, older women, are prime target because they are easy to convince to take electroconvulsive therapy. Patients over 80 years had significantly more cardiovascular complications and falls, 95% confidence interval, and tend to have a worse scale rating and a somewhat less successful outcome. That's according to the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. Among elderly and other electroconvulsive therapy patients, significantly more women than men are electroshocked. 2 to 3 times more women than men have been electroshocked in both Canada and the United States. It's according to the International Journal of Psychology and Psychotherapy, volume 15. A longitudinal study involving 65 depressed patients, 80 years and older, found that for the electroconvulsive therapy group, 27% died within 1 year following the treatment, but only 4% died who just received medication. In addition, one patient died after undergoing two electroconvulsive therapies. In other words, this study clearly shows that electroconvulsive therapy threatens people's survival, especially if they're old and sick. This was published in the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. Quote, given that an estimated 50% of women in psychiatric hospitals have suffered sexual or physical abuse in childhood, and that electroconvulsive therapy is most commonly used on women, this raises the disturbing possibility that a number of patients are, in effect, being re-abused in the name of treatment. Clinical Psychological Forum, Volume 64. Quote, in an analysis of 34 persons over the age of 85 who were subjected to electroconvulsive therapy, researchers at the Mayo Clinic documented a 79% suffered treatment complications, including 32% who had confusion and delirium, 67% with transient high blood pressure, 18% incidence of serious heart arrhythmias during treatment. And that's according to the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. Quote, electroconvulsive therapy enthusiast Dr. Kofi and his associates, Dr. Feigl, found that 10 out of 87, that's 11%, elderly patients getting electroconvulsive therapy for depression remain delirious between sessions for no discernible medical reason other than the therapy itself. They documented by brain MRI scans that 90% of these unfortunate patients had lesions in the basal ganglia areas of the brain, and 90% also had moderate to severe white matter lesions, unquote. That's the Journal of Neuropsychiatry and Clinical Science. Quote, Kroesler and Fogel's 1993 study on death rates reported above was done on the oldest old depressed patients at least 85 years of age. Death rates were significantly greater for those who received electroconvulsive therapy compared to those who did not. Let's look at children. An article in the American Journal of Psychiatry reported that a 15-year-old girl with schizophrenia received 200 electroconvulsive therapies in 1 year. A 16-year-old girl diagnosed as suffering from dementia was treated with 15 unmodified electroconvulsive therapies in 3 days. She developed an organic brain syndrome over a period of 3 weeks. 5 patients were reported to have ended the course of electroconvulsive therapy prematurely because the side effects were so severe. These included a depressed teenager who underwent a switch to mania after 5 electroconvulsive therapies, 2 whose treatment was discontinued because of increasing agitation, one who showed marked confusion after two treatments, and an 18-year-old female patient with bipolar disorder who developed neuroleptic malignant syndrome following one electroconvulsive therapy, after which the course was terminated. And this is in the American Journal of Psychiatry, Volume 5. Lengths of hospital stay for patients receiving electroconvulsive therapy were generally longer than for other depressed hospitalizations, as according to the Archives of General Psychiatry, Volume 41. Now, let's get into the real nitty-gritty. Let's get into the actual brain damage. Let me quote from Clinical Psychiatric News, Dr. Sidney Samet, M.D. Quote, "As a neurologist and electroencephalographer, I have seen many patients after electroconvulsive therapy, and I have no doubt that electroconvulsive therapy produces effects identical to those of head injury. After multiple sessions of electroconvulsive therapy, a patient has symptoms identical to those of a retired punch-drunk boxer. After a few sessions of electroconvulsive therapy, the symptoms are those of moderate cerebral contusion, and further enthusiastic use of electroconvulsive therapy may result in the patient functioning at a subhuman level. Electroconvulsive therapy, in effect, may be defined as a controlled type of brain damage produced by electrical means." Unquote. Let's hear from Dr. John Breeding, article published in the Journal of Humanistic Psychology, winner of 2000, Volume 40. Quote, "Given that the average electroconvulsive therapy procedure induces a level of electricity that is approximately 2.5 times greater than that required to induce a convulsion, the term electroconvulsive therapy is really a euphemistic misnomer. It is not a convulsive therapy. Rather, it is a systematic brain damage, and the damage in is an effect, the more current, the more brain damage." Unquote. Early studies and provided unequivocal evidence of brain damage, and indeed it was openly admitted by psychiatrists that this was the mechanism of improvement, and the patient, quote, secures his readaptation to normal life at the expense of permanently lowering functional efficiency, unquote. That's, by the way, that's just a nice way of them saying, we destroy your brain. And that was in the International Journal of Risk and Safety in Medicine, Volume 11. Numerous studies whose results are not reported in the official journals confirmed widespread and often permanent impairment in a range of cognitive abilities, such as standard length courses of electroconvulsive therapy. An appalling abuse is going on in our midst. Thousands of people a year, about 100,000, are having brain damage inflicted on them in the name of treatment. And that's according to Dr. Samet in Clinical Psychiatric News. Quote, "The studies by Harlowitz and Ferraro and Alpers and Hughes were definitive. They demonstrated that electroconvulsive therapy causes brain damage in monkeys, cats, dogs, including hemorrhages and cell death. The controversy should have ended with these studies, as well as with a number of confirmations from other animal investigations in the 1940s and 50s. Instead, the research stopped and the cover-up began." Electroconvulsive therapy is a closed head electrical injury, typically producing a delirium with global mental dysfunction, an acute organic brain syndrome. Significant irreversible effects of electroconvulsive therapy are demonstrated by many studies, including 1. Inventories of autobiographic and current events, memories before and after electroconvulsive therapy, and 2. Retrospective subjective observations on memory. Autopsy studies on animals and some humans show that severe and irreversible brain neuropathy, including cell death, has occurred, unquote. Continuing on, if you just join us, I'm Gary Nall, and I'm citing the actual peer-reviewed scientific literature to show you that all it took was for the public to be made aware that the evidence has been in front of us all along to have offered a challenge to the unscientific belief that it helps prevent depression, or reverses it, and it helps prevent suicide. It does neither. It is completely, totally destroying brain cells. And I'm giving you the science. quote, a patient recovering consciousness from electrical assist therapy might understandably exhibit multiform abnormalities of all aspects of thinking, feeling, and behaving, including disturbed memory, impaired comprehension, autonomic movements, a dazed facial expression, and motor restlessness. That's according to Dr. Abrams. Under Electric Pulse of Therapy, 3rd edition, Oxford University Press. Quote, an organic psychosis may occur with few treatments. The syndrome may include disorientation, amnesia, agnosia, confabulation, aphasia, apraxia, delirium, and later being seen principally as the post-seizure emergency of delirium, unquote. As according to Dr. Fink, who is one of the major proponents of electroconvulsive therapy, under Theory and Practice Convulsive Therapy, Raven Press, quote, electroconvulsive therapy can acutely disrupt not only memory, but perceptual, language, and other cognitive functions, especially if the stimulus intensifies, unquote. What that means in lay language is, and that was in Psychiatric Times, is also by Fink, that means that it can destroy the part of your brain where you learn how to speak. Even knowing words can be gone. You could wake up from electrical pulse therapy and have permanent brain damage that never recovers any memory. Quote, from the very beginning, based upon animal studies, human autopsies, and clinical observations, electrical pulse therapy was known to cause brain damage. In fact, the brain damage was considered the principal element of the therapeutic impact. Later, with increasing concern about its bad image, advocates began to deny these well-established observations. Unquote. And that was also in peer-reviewed journal. Quote, some human and animal autopsies reveal permanent brain pathology. Some patients have persisting spontaneous seizures after having received electroconvulsive therapy. Patients having received many electroconvulsive therapies score lower than control patients on psychological tests of organicity, even when degree of psychosis is controlled for, unquote. And that was in the peer-reviewed journal Clinical Neuropsychology. The question whether or not irreversible brain damage and to nerve cells may occur in association with electroconvulsive therapy must therefore be answered in the affirmative, unquote. Over 20 years ago, Kottman reported in Science magazine that electroconvulsive therapy disrupts protective protein production by brain cells. More recent studies show that electric shock to the brain also causes an increase in the production of inflammatory proteins inside brain cells, unquote. Journal of Humanistic Psychology, basing its report on Science magazine. C. Edward Coffey, a leading proponent of electrical therapy, conducted a study at Duke University Medical Center and the Durham VA Hospital, which looked at the brain scans by MRI of patients before and after electroconvulsive therapy. Out of 35 patients studied, 8 had changes after MRI from shock. That's 22% or greater than 1 in 5 with autonomic brain effects. Among those with the brain changes, 1 patient suffered a stroke and 2 had new abnormal neurologic signs on exam within 6 months, unquote. It's according to the Archives of General Psychiatry. Weinberger, quote, looked at the effects of electroconvulsive therapy on brains of schizophrenics by comparing brain CT scans of those who had electroconvulsive therapy with schizophrenics who never received shock. He documented that cerebral atrophy, brain shrinkage, was significantly more common in those who had had electroconvulsive therapy, unquote. And that's according to the Archives of General Psychiatry. And I'll just give you a couple more here. A study in England compared the brain CT scans of 101 depressed patients who had received electroconvulsive therapy to 52 normal volunteers. They found a significant relationship between treatment with electroconvulsive therapy and brain atrophy. In fact, electroconvulsive therapy recipients were twice as likely to have a measurable loss of brain tissue in the front area of the brain and a tripling of the incidence of loss of brain tissue in the back of the brain. Most significantly, the brain abnormalities correlated only with electroconvulsive therapy and not with age, alcohol use, gender, family history, mental illness, age at the time of psychiatric diagnosis, severity, mental illness, unquote. And that's Psychological Medicine, Volume 16. One last one. An animal study sought to discover whether giving supplemental oxygen during shock would prevent brain damage. They also gave vitamin E to lessen the effects of damaging free radical molecules that get released during a shock seizure. They found no difference in the brain-damaging effects of electroconvulsive-induced seizures by giving oxygen and vitamin E. These findings disprove the claim that modern electroconvulsive therapy methods, complete with anesthesia and oxygen, are any less damaging to the brain than uncontrolled seizures. Unquote. And that's according to the neurological research. Now, I have by no means exhausted the list of studies that show changes. I have not even gotten into the area of adverse psychological behavior and what it does to the patients. Nor have I gotten into the brain damage that actually occurs that was recited by a Dr. Peter Sterling, associate professor of neurobiology at the University of Pennsylvania, who made the overall conclusions based upon a thorough review of all the scientific literature on electroconvulsive therapy when he testified before the Standing Committee on Mental Health of the Assembly State of New York. He said the following. One, convulsions caused by electrical shocks to the brain are accompanied by alterations within the brain. Many of the brain's natural protections are broken down. Mentioned in particular are the massive rise in blood pressure, the breakdown of cerebral autoregulation and blood flow, and the breakdown of the blood-brain barrier. Two, such changes can lead to alterations in brain chemistry and physiology. The change most easily measured in humans is the alteration in EEG toward a form that is commonly recognized as pathological. Three, such changes are also associated in many studies with gross pathology such as brain swelling, edema, and particularly brain hemorrhaging, which lead to the irreversible deaths of neurons, brain cells dying. Number four, such changes are also associated with persisting, probably permanent, amnesias for life events and experiences. Five, such amnesias may only be detected when patients are questioned in detail about their life histories before and following the administration of shock. And six, at all levels, from changes in blood pressure to losses in memory, there's extreme variability. Losses can, however, be catastrophic after only a few shocks. In general, the younger and healthier the animal or person, the less permanent the damage may result. Seven, such losses of memory can and do occur without any necessary changes in overall intelligence or measured by psychological tests and without any other detectable neurological abnormalities. This finding is common not only with ECT, but brain damage accompanying other kinds of insult, such as brain toxicity. So those are just some of the damage done. I need to complete this in one more program. I'm going to take you still on a journey inside the brain to show you what actually occurs, all in the name of helping the patient. This is merely a challenge to the existing model that says it's safe and effective. The evidence is overwhelmingly, it is neither safe nor effective. I'm Gary Nall. This brings up to the end of another program, and this webinar is on abuses in psychiatry, specifically electroconvulsive therapy, a second opinion. Thank you very much for listening.